There it is. Well, good evening. How we doing?
Good.
Brandon had asked me to do this last week. And so we're in Psalms 119. And I'm going to do it like I did the last time. I'm going to read through it. And then we're going to go back and break it down. So we're going from 119, 81 to 88. And it says, my soul, and I'm reading the New King James, so it'll be a little bit different. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. Yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They also made an end of me on earth. But I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. So we're going to go. Yep, that's good stuff. Now, the little caption down here, they got K-A-P-H. The King James has C-H-P-H. But the actual pronunciation of it is like just K. It's the sound of the K. It's just K. You know, like you're going to say K, just K. So, it is the 11th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, representing the consonant sound of K. It is also used to denote the number 2 in the geometric system. In Hebrew, K means palm. Or the hollow of the hand. And if you notice the little caption to it, it's like that, like the hand. So, all right, now we're going to read 81 and 82. And it says, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? So let's go to Psalms 84:2. You there? All right. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord. No, well, I've read one, that's all right. For my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's some powerful stuff there. So, my soul faints, he said it a different way, but he's saying the exact same thing. And that's what you got to love about David. He was always searching for God, always talking to him, always. Yes, he did a lot of bad stuff, but the man knew who his God was, and that makes it so much more amazing. All right, 83, for I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. Okay, we got some buzzing. That's what I was fixing to go through. Yep. It's a describing of a feeling of being dried out, withered, yet holding on to God's teachings. And it's the Bible or the Torah, however you want to do it. The verse uses the image of a wineskin which will, when exposed to smoke, shrivels and dries to depict David's state of desolation. Despite this, David affirms his unwavering remembrance of God's word.
Yeah.
He felt like that he'd been pulled to his complete end, that there was nothing left in him to do anything. Because that wineskin won't hold no wine when it's like when it's been exposed to heat or stuff. So,
shriveled up.
Yeah, it shrivels up. And that's the way he's describing how he felt.
Yeah.
That he was all shriveled up. You know, he'd had enough.
He hadn't forgotten.
Nope. 80. Yeah. Yep. 84. How many of the days of your servant will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? How long are you going to just let these people persecute me is what he's saying. When are you going to take care of this mess? I must have an electric charge in me. Yeah. I lost my... There we go. So now we're going to go to Revelation 6:10. And this kind of goes along with what David was saying. Everybody got it? And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwelt on the earth?" And that's what the ones that are under the altar are crying. When are you going to judge them for doing this to us? Now we go to 85. The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. So we're going to go to Psalms 35:7. Second and come back. All right, 35:10 says, "All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him. Yes, the poor and the needy from him who plunders him." Some good stuff. We'll go back to 87, verse 87. "They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts." The verse expresses David's personal experience of adversity and suffering where they were nearly destroyed. But he remained faithful to God. God's words are God's commandments. He remained faithful. 88 says, "Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth." And 88, and this is another deal I come across. David asked God to revive him according to God's loving devotion, so that he can keep God's testimonies, laws, word, however you want to put it. This is a plea of spiritual renewal and the ability to continue living according with God's will.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about David. He may mess up, but he knew how to get on his knees or get in the word and say, "Hey, Lord, I messed up.
Yeah.
but I'm going to follow you anyway. I'm going to keep walking. And David's a great example of how we need to live today. We're going to mess up.
Yeah, we are.
But when we do, we immediately need to say, all right, forgive me, Lord, and get in your word. Get in this word. Get in this word, because we're not perfect. Yeah. And that's something we need to learn about people. Ain't nobody perfect. We don't, none of us doesn't do everything right all the time. None of us says the right thing all the time. And that's the way I look at this deal. You got to hold him in your hand.
Yeah.
Because it says palm. And where do you hold your hand? Your Bible. You hold your Bible in your palms. Because that's what God wants us to do. I tell people all the time, I said, if you want to serve God, I said, read his word. I said, there's a lot of stuff being said that's not true. And I said, you need to read it for yourself. Get a translation you can understand, then get another translation. So that way you can kind of cross it to see how it is, you know, what it really means. Because this was written by men, hand-wise, but God was the inspiration. And anytime you translate something, you can have several different words. It could mean several different words from different languages, so they have to be careful. That's why it's imperative that you read the whole book, not just parts of it. Then you can figure out, okay, that should have actually been this and not that. But God did that on purpose. God does nothing by accident. When he called you, it was your time. It was your time to accept him. It was your time. He knew that when he called you. He knew when you called on him, he already knew you were going to do it, and he'd already set it all up to do it. I've heard people say, well, you know, if you're got pain in your body, then maybe you're not got enough faith. Well, I'm sorry. We live in a fallen world. I don't know anybody that doesn't have pain in their body. I'm sorry, there's guys I work with that are in their early 20s. They complain about their backs hurting or their legs hurting. I'm 40 years older and I'm of them. And I says, I know exactly how you feel. But you know what I say? Lord, help me this day.
Man.
Help me to do what I need to do this day. We'll worry about the other part tomorrow.
Oh.
You know, because tomorrow will take care of itself, is what the word says. The word says it will take care of itself. And if he's already in my tomorrows, he was already in my past, he's in my now. I mean, he knows what we need. But you don't know. That's why you have to seek him. That's why David had to seek him. That's why he wrote so much about seek the Lord, seek the Lord. You know, when he was confronted about something wrong, what'd he do? He repented. Exactly. He repented because God was more important to him than his own self. You know, and people say, well, the greatest king of Israel was Solomon. No, he was the richest, but he wasn't the greatest. Talk to any Jewish person, David was their greatest king ever. Because without David, there is no Solomon. And Solomon was not in Hebrews 12, the men of faith. He's not there. He is not there. And heard someone say, well, Ecclesiastes, it's worthless. It has nothing to do. I says, no, it's not worthless. It was an old man realizing that he screwed up. Everything that he taught in Proverbs, he didn't keep himself. He got pulled astray, and the Lord warned him in the beginning, because the Lord already knew what he was going to do, warned him. But he didn't have that heart to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord's chasing.
It's the same way.
Yes. Yeah. Today ain't no different. Maybe we got some more modern convenience, but people are still exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Some are stuck in their way.
Yep.
Don't want them to.
Yep. Yep. And
Lord,
yep. walk in the peace. You can walk in the peace. One of my prayers in the morning is, Lord, let me do what you want me to do today. Let me walk in your truth today. Let not my attitude get in there. Help me not to allow my attitude, because I know what my attitude is. I know that if I feel like I'm being attacked, I want to retaliate. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to, because I think I'm being attacked, try to protect myself, because that's not my job. That's your job. It's your job to direct me and protect me. And if they want to do something ugly, then let me have the right spirit. Please let me have the right spirit. You know, and it is. It is. But I love him, because each day you get a little better. You get a little better. It gets a little easier not to do that. It gets a little easier to say, yeah, Lord, you heard what they said, and you know what went through my mind. Help me. Help me, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person no more. I'm supposed to be growing, not, you know, going backwards. And that's the way walking with God is. If you accept Christ and you don't change, then you're not walking with him. I'm sorry. Oh yeah. I had a situation today. Guy that I've been working with for over 35 years, love him to death. He's from Nigeria, and we've always picked on each other. Well, anyway, part of my truck is white. The bottom part's gold, and there were some dings on his car. Well, he come and ripped me a new one. And I said, dude, I didn't do it. I said, I'm telling you, I didn't do it. So before I left today, because he wouldn't talk to me, because he just swears up and down I did. And I know I didn't, because where his little nicks are, it's 23 inches off the ground. And for me, for my truck, 23 inches is about that far above my step. And on my doors, I've got the gold on the bottom with the padded deal on it. So I knew it wasn't me. And I just told him, I said, look, I said, I forgive you. I'm forgiving you right now. I'm not going to hold this against you or nothing. But I said, I'm telling you, I didn't do it. And I said, God's going to tell you who done it. He's going to show you who done it. Because I've already prayed for God to show you. And I believe God's going to do it. Because I just told the Lord, you help me keep the right attitude. You help me keep the right spirit. I love this man to death. Anytime if I don't show up for work, he'll usually send me a text. Hey, you okay? He's a Christian. And he got some different beliefs than I do, but that's okay. Love him to death. And it hurt me. Yeah, yeah, and that's what
Well,
exactly. No, he's not going to win. And I said, I sat there because I did spray today, and I just sat there. I said, Lord, why does this happen every time before I go and speak? Something like this happens. Why do they why does Satan try to push my butt? Because that's Satan doing it.
Oh, yeah.
The wrong thoughts is what Satan's putting in your head. The wrong saying is what Satan put in your mouth.
Yeah.
Because he wants to kill and destroy. He does not want us serving the king. He wants us to burn just like he's going to burn. And his whole deal is he hates us so much because God loved us more than he did him. That's all he's set up. That's all he wants to do is destroy man. And he'll put any stupid little thing. Every sin that we commit today has already been committed by untold generations before us. Most people don't know with a lot of your satanic gods, because that's what they are, demons, that they're worshiping. Most of them, if you're a man to approach it, you had to dress like a woman. If you was a woman, you had to dress like a man. Transgender. Because you wasn't allowed to approach them as yourself. Because why? Satan wants to change you, get you away from God's creation, what he created you to be. Because if he can get that and get you deceived, he can get you to come to him and not the Lord. That's why it's important we read this book and study it. And I'm not perfect. I have the thoughts of stuff that I want to do, and I'm like, no, Lord, no, it's not going to happen. Man, I'm giving it to you. Here, take it. No, I'm not going to say that. Even though that thought came to my head and it sounded really good in my head, but I'm not going to say it. Because all it's going to do is cause strife. And that's what Satan wants to happen, is cause strife. Because if he can get you striving, he can get you angry. If he can get you angry, he can get you sinning and doing stuff you're not supposed to do. And that's what I love about David, even this here. The whole time, he's basically pleading for God to help him. Help me. I can't do this on my own. You got to come deliver me. Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And after his own heart.
Yeah, own heart. And it's the...
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right.
It's not because he wanted to sin all the time. Neither did we.
Yep, and he's the only person in the Bible he said that about. The only one he said that about. That's why Jesus Christ had to come from his lineage. Because he loved David that much so that he could forever remembrance of David, because he's the father, basically the father of Christ. And what I love about when you get studying that both his dad and his mom was of the lineage of David. Both of them were, not just one of them. The dad was on the side that had gotten booted out, but she was of the lineage of the one of the side that was picked to be the kings over David, over the Israel. And she's also a relative of Aaron, distant relative of Aaron. So not only is he king, he's also the priest. After the order of Melchizedek, what the word says. All right, thank y'all so much. Thank y'all. It wasn't a whole lot.